following the story of these astronauts that are stuck on the ISS?
Yeah. Yes,
it's like the beginning of a horror movie.
Yeah, they can't come back till next year.
Yeah. They're going to spend Christmas on the ISS because they're stuck. They were trying to send up a Boeing rocket, which I got to tell you, based on what's going on with Boeing planes later, I don't think I'd let Boeing get me back from space. I think I just live here now, everybody. I think I'm just a perma space guy now. But yeah, they're stuck up there for what is it? Like an additional 8 months?
Yeah, until February, I believe.
Yeah,
I think it's Elon Musk is going to get them down, I believe.
Yeah, I think SpaceX is working on it in tandem with NASA. Here's the crazy thing. I thought about this. Great one, you know, in I was going to say radio, but really in any business. All of us that get hit with that week where the boss is like, hey, I need you to put in 10 hours overtime this week. We're like, ugh, these guys are getting 9 months of overtime. 9 months of overtime. You know what that means? When they come back, Lonzo, that next paycheck's going to be astronomical.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's going to be out of this world.
I'm just, to me, because how my brain works, work being the key word there, that they're keeping them up there hoping that a spark ignites and that, you know, something happens.
God, Lonzo!
So that the first baby born in space could happen.
I believe they're both married to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they're separated right now, aren't they?
Tell you right now.
Separated by a long...
The longest separate. Yeah. Babe, if you wanted to break up with me, you could just say so. You didn't have to go to space for a year. Could have just said I'm moving out. Yeah, I couldn't get far enough from where
I'm also
you.
Thinking of the Russian dude from Armageddon who's like stuck on the space station or whatever forever. And they ended up getting him and nothing works and he's just... Yeah. I think there are a lot of things that will be interesting when they finally do come back to Earth, hopefully safely. Can they handle solid food anymore? What are the effects of non-gravity for that length of time? There's just a lot of things.
Jokes aside, apparently the young lady who is up there, apparently she is so being in space because of the zero gravity and because of the fact that everything in your body without gravity, everything in your body begins to atrophy. She apparently was already having problems with her vision, which the eye muscles are one of the first muscles that begin to weaken, not in gravity. She's at the point where she's starting to have eye issues. And so they're actually very concerned about that, but there's also not much they can do about it, right? Like, it's not like they can just send up another rocket. You got to have the rocket to get up there, but then you've got to have the retrieval system and you've got to have the docking. So you got to have all these different things to be able to get this lady and this fella and get them down. It's a wild story, but 9 extra months in space. And it ain't exactly like that's, you know, I see on Instagram all the time where people put up like pictures of beachside mansions and they're like, would you stay here for 1 year without internet for $1 million? I'm like, I'd do it for free. Are you kidding me? I'd do it for free. If you were going to pay me $1 million to just live in a house by the beach with no internet, I'd do it for free. The ISS isn't exactly a beachside mansion, man. If you ever like watch the YouTube videos of these astronauts when they give tours of the ISS, it's cramped, dude. Like, it's cramped. And these two are just genuinely stuck up there. That's wild.
Yeah, I think I'd have a psychotic episode by now.
Lonzo would be the horror movie.
I was more thinking of like trying to open the door. But I mean, you know.
Screw it, I'm done. I'm going out.
Exactly.
Hey, would you look at that? It's 7:05 in the morning. You got about 55 minutes, so you got to get to the office, get to work, clock in, lock in, get your day started. And when you do, I know what you're looking forward to. It ain't Friday's paycheck. It ain't that catered lunch the boss is serving you on Wednesday. You're looking forward to that first break. You're looking forward to that first break when you walk down the hallway and you go meet Bill from accounting, and you guys talk a little sports. That's what you're looking forward to. I know, but in order to do that, you got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. Let us dive in head first with item number one. This isn't like the most impactful story ever, but I think it's a kind of cool little moment in baseball history. All right. I love when you see something happen that has never happened before. I certainly love it when it's never happened before and will likely never happen again. Not that it won't, but baseball's been around for a very long time. And despite the fact that baseball's been around for a very long time, this is the first time that this has happened. Yesterday, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox got together to play the back end of a game that started back on June 26th. On June 26th, that game had to be put on pause because of a little rainstorm, a little thunder shower that came through. At the time that that thunder shower came through, Blue Jays catcher Danny Jansen was at the plate. The game was called while Jansen was in the middle of an AB, which means that when the game was resumed, whenever it was resumed, which ended up being yesterday, Danny Jansen would be scheduled to come back to the plate, or someone would come up and pick up in his at-bat where it left off as a pinch hitter. Well, that is what had to happen. Why? Because before the trade deadline, Danny Jansen got traded away from Toronto to whomst, you ask? To the Boston Red Sox. Yesterday, when this game resumed, Danny Jansen was behind the plate as a catcher for an at-bat that he started. He caught his own at-bat. Danny Vacha was sent up to be the pinch hitter in place of Danny Jansen. And Jansen ended up being the only player in the history of Major League Baseball who played for both teams in the same game. Now, we have seen situations before where a guy has been traded in a game. We have seen a situation before where a guy has been traded in a game to the team that that team was playing. He literally packed up his gear and walked to the other clubhouse and was just a member of that team now. That's happened many times in Major League Baseball. But never before has a player started a game with one team and finished the game with the other. Danny Jansen did that yesterday. Red Sox manager Alex Cora was asked if he was going to play Danny Jansen when the suspended game resumed, because Jansen is not the starting catcher for the Boston Red Sox. And Alex Cora said, absolutely, quote, let's make history, end quote. Cora said after the game last night, quote, it was a very cool moment just to be a part of it. I don't know if it's going to happen again. It has to kind of like be the perfect storm for that to happen, starting with the storm. And I'm glad that everybody enjoyed it, end quote. The game resumed 65 days, 18 hours, and 35 minutes after it began. And the Red Sox media relations coordinator, Davison Perez, announced the changes in the Fenway press box, saying, quote, pinch hitting for Danny Jansen, Dalton Varsho, defensive change, Danny Jansen, now a catcher. If you missed it, you missed a little bit of baseball history last night. Let's go to item number two. In a story that we are going to talk about here in just a few moments on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate, I have no idea why I suddenly turned into Captain James T. Kirk. It just kind of happened. Where's my James T. Kirk clip? Where'd Shatner go? Eh, whatever. Doesn't matter.
I marvel at your organizational skills.
That's in the red. Like this whole side of the screen now, I filled it up with so much stuff, it's all red.
Yeah, I've seen that. When everything's the same color. There you go.
There's Captain Kirk. Rolanda Brandon is the mother of class of 2025, high school quarterback Faison Brandon. He is ranked number 32 in the ESPN Junior 300, is the number 4 pocket passer in the class of 2025, and is committed to the Tennessee Volunteers. Well, his mother, Rolanda Brandon, has filed a lawsuit against the North Carolina public education system. Why? Because, according to the lawsuit filed by Brandon, a major national trading card company offered an NIL deal to Faison Brandon. They were going to have him do a merchandise signing as a commitment to the University of Tennessee. They were going to make him some cards and whatever other merch, and he was going to go sit at a table, and he was going to sign those things for fans, and they were going to pay him mucho dinero in order to do so. Well, back in June of this year, the North Carolina State Board of Education and the Department of Public Instruction laid out some new guidelines, some protocols that prevent high school students in public schools, not private schools, but public schools, from accepting NIL money. If you are a high school athlete and you accept NIL money, you become ineligible to be that anymore. So, this lawsuit effectively says that high school students, just like college students, should be allowed to earn NIL money, should be allowed to utilize their name, image, and likeness in order to gain public funds, in order to gain mucho dinero, in order to gain a paycheck and still be allowed to play high school athletics. We'll talk about this lawsuit a bit more in depth coming up in a few minutes, because I do think there is the potential for massive change because of it. And item number 3? Question mark. You got to do this on yourself then.
Blub 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 blub.
Oh, come on, dude.
You do come it. On. How are you going to do it? I clicked on something. I can't get it off of here.
Blub 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 blub. That was a
wow.
That was a C minus effort, Greenwood.
Well, I want you to do better. I mean, you know,
look, at least change the pitch a little bit. You know,
so that's better. Okay,
yeah.
All right. Fine.
Yeah, that was better.
And all the stretching doesn't help. I still can't get. I'm trying. You know what? I'm just shutting the whole thing down.
The Atlanta Braves win a 10-6 contest on the road over the Minnesota Twins last night. It was the first game in a 7-game road sweep that Atlanta is on. They're only playing 2 opponents in that 7 games. They have a 3-game set in, yay, a 3-game set on the road at Minnesota. They take the first last night, 10-6, on the back of a 5-inning, 7K effort from Braves pitcher Max Fried. It puts him above 500 as he is now 8-7 on the season. I do like to point out, as I did last night on BetMGM Tonight, it will again right now, that of those 7 losses for Max Fried, a majority of them came in 1-run games where it was a total of under 5. Max Fried effectively has watched a lot of games where he has pitched well enough to win but had 0 run support. That was not the case last night. Atlanta had 13 hits in this ball game. They led this game 9-1 after 2 innings. They stopped pressing after that, got another one back in the 6th inning in order to increase the lead to 10 at that point to 3. They did let Minnesota score 1 in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, but at that point, Minnesota was just kind of fighting uphill, and Atlanta was just kind of coasting to a victory. Michael Harris II did not start this game after being hit in the hand by a pitch in the last contest Atlanta was in, but he did make his way back out onto the field, took over for Jorge Soler in center field about midway through this contest. He went 0-1. Marcell Ozuna went 2-4-4 with a pair of ribbies. Matt Olson 3-5 with 5 RBIs, including a dinger Travis Darnot went Yad as well, 1-4-5, but had a pair of ribbies in the contest. The big night, Whit Merrifield, 5-4-5 from the dish last night. That'll help the batting average out just a little bit. All of the sudden, the Braves' bats starting to wake up a little bit. Here's the good news. Atlanta's bats kind of starting to find the baseball a little bit. Some lumber starting to hit leather every now and then. Here's the bad news. The bad news is the Phillies are kind of finding their groove a little bit as well. The Phillies able to walk off the Astros last night in the 10th inning, so their lead remains at 6 games above the Atlanta Braves. The good news for Atlanta, no Mets game, no Mets loss yesterday, meaning that the Bravos have grown their lead for the final wild card spot to a full 3 games now. They lead the Mets by 3 games in the hunt for that final wild card spot. Overall, as your wild card standings are today, and yes, we will be checking in on this daily as we have less than 30 games remaining in the regular season. The Diamondbacks are 4 games up on the Braves for the first wild card. The Padres, 3 games up on Atlanta for the second wild card. The Braves currently hold the third wild card spot with a 3-game lead over the Mets, 5.5-game lead over the Giants and the Cubs, a 6-game lead over the Cardinals, 8 over the Reds, 9 over the Pirates. Everybody else is 12.5 games or further out as of today. So Atlanta does have 3 against Minnesota. After these 3, they've got 4 against the Phillies in Philadelphia, and that will either be a huge opportunity or a massive disaster. Let's talk about that loss when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. The North Carolina State Board of Education and North Carolina Department of Public Instruction both named as defendants in a lawsuit that has been filed by the mother of a high school recruit who is committed to play for the Tennessee Volunteers. Faison Brandon is ranked the number 4 pocket passer in the class of 2025, the number 32 overall ESPN recruit for next year. The North Carolina State Board of Education and Department of Public Instruction back in June of this year put down a new policy. That policy blocks state public school athletes from making money through the use of their name, image, and likeness. If they are to make money in NIL, they are no longer eligible to participate in state-run high school athletics. This lawsuit seeks to challenge that policy. Charlotte-based attorney Mike Ingersoll said in a statement to the Charlotte Observer, quote, "The State Board of Education was asked to create rules allowing public high school athletes to use their NIL. It was not empowered to ban it. We look forward to correcting the State Board's error and to help our client benefit from the incredible value and opportunities his hard work and commitment have created for his name, image, and likeness." In the complaint, the mother of the student athlete, whose name is Rolanda Brandon, says that a, quote, "prominent national trading card company," end quote, has agreed to pay for Faison to sign memorabilia before graduation and offered the family, quote, "financial security for years to come," end quote. That according to WRAL out of Raleigh, North Carolina. North Carolina, amongst the states that do not permit NIL activities such as endorsements for public appearances at camps or autograph signings, all of which have become common at the college level. The restriction, however, and this is going to be a part of the lawsuit, the restriction does not apply to private school athletes, such as fellow Tennessee recruit David Sanders, the number 4 overall prospect in the 2025 ESPN recruiting rankings, who plays for Charlotte's Providence Day School. Sanders has a website on which he sells merchandise with his name, image, and likeness on it in return for a profit. So this lawsuit basically is going to challenge the state of North Carolina and the policy that they laid down earlier this year that says student athletes are not allowed to use NIL within the state of North Carolina. I am TBH quite interested in this lawsuit and its outcome because there are some states, I believe Florida, for instance, is one of them. There are some states that have indeed begun allowing or are in the process of beginning to allow high school athletes to collect NIL money, to utilize their name, image, and likeness in order to profit off of it. I think this is interesting, and I think a large part of the reason that it is interesting to me is because, especially in a more conservative state, I am very curious as to what the reasoning is going to be from preventing anyone from making money in a way that has nothing to do, frankly, with their education. Has nothing to do with their education, has nothing to do with their football prowess. Now, I assume that one of the arguments that you are going to hear is this is a way to try to spread out the talent to high schools across the state, right? Because if you allow NIL money, high schools in Charlotte are going to have a dramatic advantage over high schools in Buford. That's in South Carolina, isn't it? Is there a Buford, North Carolina?
There's definitely a Buford in South Carolina. I think there's one in North Carolina. Should have just said Greenville.
There is a Buford in North Carolina.
All right.
So, Beaufort. F-O-R-T.
Is it Beaufort?
It's
Beaufort.
I mean, for me, that'd be Beaufort.
Okay, yeah. Because I when I first moved here, you know, half my life ago, I called it Beaufort and was criticized for that.
I mean, that is what it is. That is what
How would
that
you
is.
Pronounce it in Cajun, though?
Well, I take that back. In the dialect of my weird-ass people, it'd be Beaufort, all right? But also B-E-A-U is how you start the word beautiful, so I can see people saying it's Beaufort. Either way, that's not the point.
Never even thought about that before. Thank you, because I never understood where in the world they got that from. Okay.
There you go. So either way, Beaufort, however you want to put it, a high school player in Beaufort, North Carolina, out on the Outer Banks, probably would not have the same opportunities as for NIL as an athlete in Charlotte. If you get to a point where, say, the CEO of Charlotte Bank and Trust, who's a billionaire, decided that he really wanted to give back to his high school, big high school football guy, wants his high school back competing for state championships. So he just puts out an open call and says, yo, anybody who plays for my school, anybody who plays at my high school, you're catching a $50,000 a year NIL deal as a high school player. Okay, yeah, like I understand that, but I got a couple of issues with it. Number one, I'd care more about that if you cared more about the equality of schools in the public education system at all. I will tell you, last year, when I was calling high school football games for the past two seasons, it blew my mind the disparity between some of the high schools you go to, all right? I'm not going to call any of them out by name. But I can tell you the team that I called games for the last 2 years, you would go to one school, and it was like calling a game at a freaking major D1 university, right? You got a press box that is the lap of luxury, and it's fully catered, and they got coolers for every individual play-by-play guy. It was wild, like refrigerators that are stocked for you. And then you'd go to another school, and they would have a non-air-conditioned press box that was made out of cinder blocks that I'm pretty sure were placed there in the 1600s. And the only way to call a game was you had to fight the legion of spiders and raccoons that inhabited that press box. It's already an unequal system. It's already a system where there are schools that are luxury and there are schools that are run down as hell and can't catch a break. So don't hit me with, well, the equality matters to us. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't be spending one Friday night in a press box that I considered never leaving, and another Friday in a press box that I felt like I might have needed to carry heat to make sure I was getting out of there safe. All right? So don't hit me with that. So I'm interested to hear what the, well, you know, these kids aren't responsible enough to do this. Really? Because I don't know about you. I had a job as a high school junior. So it's okay for me to have to go to work for hours and hours.
Did you save all that money or did you blow it on movies and video games?
Doesn't matter. It's my money. Doesn't matter if I'm 16 or 66.
I'm just asking what you did with your money from your job.
Oh, I blew it. Okay. The only reason I was working was to get money to blow.
Okay.
But the point is, once I've earned that money, it ain't your damn business what I do with it. Isn't that kind of a massive platform?
Unless you use it for illegal means, then it's...
No, I would say even that. I'm a big fan of the Mind Your Damn Business platform, all right? Mind Your Damn Business. So, for me, none of the arguments that I hear against this, once again, here we go again, are anything more than, I don't like it. Well, I got news for you, kids. I don't like it ain't a legal argument. It's not. This lawsuit's going to win. Book that. High school kids are getting NIL money, and that will be a nationwide phenomenon within the next 2 years. Now, what impact does it have on sports? That's a conversation we can have on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Rolling on with the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate, talking about this lawsuit that a 2025 college football recruit out of North Carolina's mother has filed against the NC State Board of Education back in June of last year. If you missed the segment, last segment, let's just set you up here. Back in June of last year, the NC State Board of Education put down a new set of guidelines that said high school athletes in the public school system are not eligible or allowed to receive NIL money. The mother of this recruit is saying in her lawsuit that a major national trading card company approached her son about the possibility of doing effectively autograph signings, meet and greets. He has already received an offer from and accepted an offer from, committed to go play for the University of Tennessee. So the mother is claiming in this lawsuit that a major trading card company offered her baby boy mucho dinero in order to start doing autograph signings, meet and greets, yada, yada, yada. But if he can't accept them, he has to say no to them, because if he says yes to them, he is no longer eligible to play football or participate in high school athletics in the North Carolina public education system. This lawsuit seeks to challenge that. Now, you know, you guys know where I've fallen on NIL. I am pro NIL. I am on board for NIL. I think, much like all of us, that if you have done something to create a brand where people wish to give you money in order to be connected to your brand, you should have the right to do it. With the caveat, with the understanding that you are held socially responsible for whatever consequences come with that, right? If you as an NIL participant get hooked up with a company that has a very negative public image and people start to call you out on that, and there are social consequences for your participation in that NIL activity, that's a you problem, all right? That's on you. I think a lot of people have gotten to the point, and I'm not saying that people aren't legitimately canceled, but I think a lot of people have kind of lost the thread that being canceled, yeah, more often than not, that's social consequences. That ain't being canceled. That's having an opinion that does not register with the public at large. And the public at large, just like you're allowed to have that opinion, the public at large is allowed to have the opinion that your opinion's bad. All right? This whole concept that we have to respect everyone's opinions. No, I don't. No, I don't. If you got a crap opinion, I'm going to disrespect it. That's kind of how life works. If that ain't good for you, you're going to have a long haul ahead of you. All right? So, all of that being said, I feel the same way about a high school athlete as I do about a college athlete. If they have the right, if they have the ability to build a brand that people wish to connect their brand with that brand, and they are willing to give that person money to do so, it should be up to that person whether or not they want to connect those brands and make that money or not. All right? That's it. Texas said, how do you feel about NIL for high schoolers, though? Same way I feel about college athletes. It's their life. They are the ones. I'll tell you what. If you don't think that high school athletes should be allowed to make NIL, college athletes should not be allowed to make NIL, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go through two-a-days this August. I want you to go through two-a-days in the spring. I want you out there at 6 a.m. running gassers, at 7 a.m. running Oklahoma drills, at 8 a.m. catching passes across the middle. Then I want you to go home. I want you to rest and recover. And I want you to come back at 2 in the afternoon to run it back and do it again. And then I want you to say, no. I don't want compensation for that. I'm just doing it for the love of the game.
Wow, you got to go home?
During our two-a-days? Yeah, we had like a 4-hour break. Oh, between two a days.
We had like a half hour.
That's not two a days. That's one a day with a break. That ain't two a days.
Well, anyway.
That's one really long a day. It's not the same. It's still bad. I'm not poo-pooing it. Still bad. Because I remember two a days I went home and I went my ass to sleep for like 2 hours. I'll see y'all in a couple. I'm getting some Z's. Point here is, here's the reality. We live in a culture, and I'm glad that we do because it makes daddy money. But we live in a culture that worships sports, right? It is one of America's favorite things. That is why the NFL is a multi-billion dollar industry. That is why college football, yeah, pride, pageantry, tradition, all those things exist. But at its core, it's a multi-billion dollar business. So is the NBA, so is the NHL, so is MLB. We worship sports and our athletes. And because of that, we're doing it down to the high school level. Now, let's keep in mind, one of the things that is going to come up here is that companies are doing this, many companies, not all, but many companies are doing this, not just because they want to influence where it is that a high school athlete plays college. They genuinely are doing it as advertising. They are genuinely doing it so that their brand's connected to this kid. Because if this kid, Faison Brandon, if this kid who is a top four quarterback in next year's recruiting class, if he goes to the University of Tennessee, and he goes into the University of Tennessee, and he becomes a Heisman Trophy finalist his freshman year, right? He's in competition for all the awards. He's going to New York City. New York City. They're singing about him in radio, right? He becomes the face of the volunteer athletic department. Well, if you pick this kid up on an NIL deal when he's a high school junior and you've been giving this kid $5,000-$10,000 a month, every month, all the way up till college, you probably built some loyalty with that guy, right? He's probably going to look at you and go, yeah, man. Yeah. Bob's playing cards. Bob's got a lot of fingers in a lot of pies here. Bob's playing cards. Bob's trading cards has been taking care of me and my family since I was a high school junior. And so now that I'm at Tennessee and I am the face of the program, I'm still going to support Bob's Trading Cards. Y'all come on down to Bob's Trading Cards Card Emporium and pick up your Brendan Frazier, or your Frazier Brandon. I forgot his name for a second. That your Brendan Frazier trading. Maybe I'd buy a Brendan Frazier trading card. That man's a national treasure. All right.
Back when he was in shape, or now where he's got the
still. He's a national treasure, man.
Okay. All right.
Have you seen the whale? It's incredible.
No, it looks too serious.
It's incredible. And you know what else is incredible?
I don't watch 5,000 pound sisters either. I mean, whatever.
I mean, that doesn't exactly provide the same level of culture. But
isn't it kind of the same
thing? No, it's not at all the same thing. As somebody who's watched both, it's not the same.
I do. Isn't Max from Stranger Things in that? In the whale, I believe.
I saw it when it came out. I haven't seen it since then. I don't remember. Which one's Max? It's less about that, more about Stranger Things. I watched like 6 episodes of season 1 and I kind of bailed out on it.
Wow.
So I don't know. Wow. Like, it was all right. I think it was overhyped a little bit, to be honest. Well, it was all right. It was all right.
You should have kept watching.
It was all right. Anyway, point here is, yeah, he's going to have some loyalty. So when he gets to Tennessee and he becomes the face of Tennessee athletics, maybe the face of college football, I think at that point, you know, he's going to stay loyal to Bob's Used Cards. And he's going to say, come on down to Bob's Used Card Emporium and pick up your Frazier Brandon trading cards and your Brendan Frazier trading cards. We got a Rookie the Mummy card that you can catch on special right now. So this is about advertising as much as it is anything else.
Do they have an EV card too? Because I wouldn't mind having one of those.
Rachel. What up, girl? What up, Rachel Weitz? Still got it, by the way. So, point of Brendan Frazier, just treasure. I can't say it enough. All right? Just a treasure. Anyway, I don't have an issue with it. I think if anybody is capable of doing anything that builds a brand that people want to give them money, they should have the right to do so. And for the record, like with me, for instance, I'll use me as an example because, hey, there ain't much I like talking about more than me. I'm the Terrell Owens of Sports Talk Host, all right? I work on building a brand every single day. But part of my agreement in working here is that I just can't go accept willy-nilly money from any company to put my face on the front of their business, right? I can't. It's got to be run through the station. That is an agreement that I made for full-time employment here. However, if I got canned tomorrow and let go, and I go start the Rob Brown Show pod, and I start podcasting this show, and I don't have a corporate restriction where I agreed in return for a full-time job not to endorse anything without their permission, do you know what I could do? I could go right outside and go start promoting myself, and I can accept an endorsement from any damn person I want, all right? That's NIL. That's all it is. So with all of those things that are out there, I don't have an issue. And before you hit me with, oh, it's equality, Rob. It's equality. We don't want kids who are at some small 2A country school to start leaving en masse to go to Charlotte to go play for a big old 5A school that's got a billionaire fundraiser behind it. My guy, that's already a thing. That already happens. Kids are already doing that. If you want me to fall for that argument, then fix the schools across the board where every school's got an equal caliber facility. But the reality is, that ain't gonna happen. And if that ain't gonna happen, why is it the only people that should be limited because of that are the football players, the basketball players, the baseball players, whoever? Why are the only people that should be held up and not benefit off their name, image, and likeness are the kids here? We don't hold school board officials or public education officials responsible for the fact that some high school stadiums are nicer than some FCS schools' facilities, while there are other schools in the same county that are playing on bleachers and risers that are 97 years old and have been there since the Civil War. We don't do that. But now, oh no, but these kids, that's too much. That's too much. Nah, that argument don't float with me. All right, a couple of comments that you guys have made so far. Donovan is on the stream right now, facebook.com/thefanupstate, The Fan Upstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. He said, in my opinion, I think there ought to be a cap on high school NIL money, or the money needs to go into a trust until they turn a certain age, or the stipulation with the money needs to be you keep your grades up. You have a certain amount of attendance in school. I just can see some kids getting the money and saying, screw it. Guy, they can already do that. I promise you, if as a high school senior, somebody would come to me and said, Rob Brown, we'd like to give you a $500,000 a year job. Bye-bye. I'll get my diploma when I need it. All right? I'll get my diploma when I need it. But I don't need it if you're giving me a $500K a year job. Why? Again, why is this different from a high school senior getting a job? Why is this different from a high school senior going down to work at the mall or at the Chick-fil-A? And Donovan said, wait a minute, Rob. Wait a minute. When it was your age and you had a summertime job, it was minimum wage, not $10,000 at one time. Okay, fine. But let's play on that argument for just a second. What you were saying is that there are different rules for people who make different amounts of money. Now, I'm good with that, but are you sure that's the path you want to go down? Are you sure you want to say that you accept the premise that if you make above a certain amount, there should be restrictions placed on you? Are you sure you want to play with the premise that if you make above X amount of money, that the rules are different for you? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if that goes through and that is the guideline you work on, the political atmosphere in North Carolina will get real interesting real damn fast if that becomes a legal precedent that goes through in a courtroom. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying I want you to think that spot out. Because if you say it for the high school kids, you know it's going to get transposed up to the big dogs too. And we'll see how that goes. Jacob says, when does accepting money happen? Is it at the contract signing or is it when the money hits your account? Perhaps high schoolers could have deferred payment to the grad. Again, why are, and I'm not saying this, I'm saying this to start a conversation. This is not me firing off at you, Donovan, or you, Jacob, or anybody in the stream, and we'll get, or on the text line, and I'll come to the text here in a minute. It blows my mind how many of you guys are so damn ready to start dictating to other people how they're allowed to receive money that ain't got nothing to do with you. It is incredible. And I'm not saying all of you subscribe one direction or the other, but with the overwhelming political demographic of the area, it blows my mind that when this is brought up, how many of you are like chomping at the bit to be allowed to tell other people when, where, how, and how much they're allowed to accept. Is it just me? Because I'll tell you, I've never heard anybody have that same argument about their local garbage man or butcher or barber or pest control guy. I've never heard it. But when it comes to guys who play football, y'all are real damn quick to want to be able to lay down rules about who can get what, how much, at what time, and what regulations come with that. Okay, but be prepared for that to be extrapolated to other aspects of this great American life. That's all I'm saying. Texture said, Rob, you really think these kids are going to look back on who gave them funding at the start? They're just going to move on to the bigger deal. Maybe, and do you know whose risk that is? The business. That's the risk of the business. That don't affect me in the damn least. If Bob's Used Cards gives this kid a card endorsement deal, and he signs it for $5,000, $10,000, $100,000 a month, ain't my business. That's between him and Bob's, right? And if he gets to the University of Tennessee and then Dunlop or Tops or Russell or whoever calls him and goes, hey, we want to pay you $10,000 a month more than Bob's, and he accepts that deal, do you know whose problem that is? Bob! That one, not me. That Bob, it's that Bob's problem, not mine. Again, I don't care because it ain't my business. It ain't my contract. It ain't my money. It ain't my deal. All right? Lonzo with a sports flash.
Finally, After a rain delay, the Atlanta Braves rode a solid 5-inning, 7-strikeout performance from Max Fried to a 10-6 win over the Twins in the first game of a 7-game road trip. Atlanta finished the night with 13 hits, including home runs from Matt Olson and Travis d'Arnaud. Atlanta is 6 games back of Philadelphia in the NL East, but now has a 3-game lead for the final wild card spot over New York. The Green Bay Packers have a new backup quarterback behind Jordan Love after sending a 7th-round pick to Tennessee in return for former Liberty Flames signal caller Malik Willis. Willis would likely have been the 3rd quarterback behind Will Levis and Mason Rudolph if he had stayed where he was. Hey, make sure you tune in this Friday night at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Irmo, take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus Irmo right here on your home for Burns Rebels football. That would be us, the fan, upstate.